Toronto Raptors lost again. Three in a row. Now, DeMar is injured. He'll be gone for the next couple of games. He didn't shoot worth a damn. Lowry didn't shoot worth a damn. And they got beat by the Phoenix Suns. What's going on? Paul Jones is here. What the hell, Jones?
Can I take the Belichick question for $50?
Yeah, go ahead.
What makes a good coach? Good players.
Well, but here's the interesting thing about that. I mean, I don't want to...
Bobcat.
No. Listen to me first. Listen to me.
I got a book full of plays downstairs.
Listen to me. What?
I got a book full of plays downstairs that all work. And you know what? They'd work even better if I had LeBron James.
But here's... Well, that's basketball. That's an entirely different thing. Here's the problem.
What? Football's different?
Of course it is. You got 53 guys. It's one guy can make a difference on a 5-man team. Okay, one guy makes negligible difference on a 53-man team.
Yeah. Hickerson, Shafrath.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Hickerson, Shafrath, Clark, I forget.
Okay.
You're talking about the offensive line of the Cleveland Browns, 1960s.
Right. Jim Brown was a heck of a player. But
Hickerson and Wooten
line.
At the guards. Shafrath and Nekla at the tackles. Monty Clark was the center.
There you go. Way to go, Bobcat.
There you go. Well, I know that. But here's the thing about Belichick and the New England Patriots, and everybody concedes this, is players become incrementally better, extraordinarily better, when they go to New England. And then when Belichick cuts them loose, they are never as good wherever they go. Cite the case.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about Randy Moss. Randy Moss was a great player who went to New England kind of when he was almost done, it looked like, and he revived him a bit. But he's not typical. Like 15 for the New England Patriots is typical of what Belichick does. Takes guys that are on the scrap heap who look like they, you know, have had opportunities elsewhere. Guy gets, he's a touchdown kid now. Scores touchdowns all over the place. There's something there, man.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. And the basketball equivalent to that was Jerry Sloan in Utah. Guys looked great in that system and then they left. And
never got a sniff.
If it was dancing, it was like they'd forgotten how to dance when they left Utah.
I understand.
And it's the same thing in, I think it's, to me, that carries across a lot of sports in that sense. But
all right, can we get to basketball?
Yeah, but look at what Dwayne, on that same vein. Shall we add up the guys that Dwayne Casey's gotten paid and made them look good because they fit into his system? Gravis Vasquez, Lou Williams, Bismack Biyombo, all these guys were good players. They came somewhere where the coach knew how to use them, had a system, and now they're making gajillions of dollars.
Yeah, that's different, though. Belichick's guys go elsewhere and can't play the way they played under Belichick. That's the point of difference.
What's to say those guys are all playing the way they were playing in Toronto anyway right now?
What is Biyombo doing in Orlando, by the way, Jonesy?
He's okay.
Well, they've won about as many games as me, you, and Bobcat, Arash.
Right. Yeah, they can't beat anybody. Yeah. But to
Toronto right now, they're in a part of the season where they're struggling. That's all you can say. They've got
that's pretty obvious, I'd say.
Well, they've got injuries, and I think it's Dwayne Casey's worst nightmare because he was always worried about what happens when the offense doesn't work. What happens when the offense doesn't work? You know, can we stop people? And they haven't been able to stop people. And in the last few games, they haven't shot the ball well. You said it off the top, Bobcat. I mean, they shoot yesterday against Phoenix, they shoot under 40%.
Well, the two big guys were woeful.
Well, yeah, but that's okay to be woeful if you can stop the other guy.
Well, but they can't. And this is the part of the thing that this is the part of the equation with the Toronto Raptors that's always bugged me. You have a head coach who preaches nothing else but defense. And maybe every coach preaches defense because you can't really teach offense. Can't teach touch, as I like to say. But this is what he preaches. And these guys haven't done it with any kind of consistency all year. Are they incapable or are they tuning this coach out?
No, they're not tuning him out. The way they play for him tells me that they won't tune him out. They don't tune him out. That's not a question. It's also the makeup of your team in terms of defensive players and defensive mentality. some guys have it. Some guys have it a little bit. Some guys don't have it at all. And, you know, when I was coaching, we used to identify players that were can't and can't won't. A guy that can't play defense because he just can't. He's not physically capable of moving his feet fast enough or you know, getting in a stance and going laterally or getting to a spot or thinking on the help side. He can't because he can't. And there are other guys that can't because they won't. They refuse to. They can move their feet, but they refuse to, right, or they don't want to.
They don't
want to
play defense.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think Dwayne has some guys that I wouldn't say can't, won't, but they don't do it consistently because they're capable. And I think it's the lure of the offense has got them. And it's just, he is a defensive coach and they've got great defensive philosophy. And when they choose to do it, I think they can. But, you know, the rules make it tough sometimes. And the way the offense is going, sometimes it's like, you know what, we'll just outscore you. Your turn, my turn. And we'll see what happens at the end. And in the last few games, when it's been their turn, they haven't been able to put the ball in the hole.
You see, I got just a whole bunch of questions. I mean, is there a conflict between the head coach and the general manager? And I know Masai isn't technically the general manager anymore, but he really is. I mean, is there a conflict there? I mean, is Casey going to him and saying, "Get me some guys who can play defense," and Masai has said no or hasn't been able to do it? I mean, you know, it's the Belichick theory. You know, how does he go out and get guys and make them better? And is that the greatness of the coach or the understanding that Belichick decides who comes in?
Let me interrupt both of you for a second
here. Well, there is no interrupting.
It's just, so I grew up a Laker fan. Just follow me here for a second. I know you say, what's the relevance of this? And when they were dominating in the 80s, the moment there was a hiccup along the way, suddenly the sky would always be falling in LA. I mean, it was the place where the soap opera was high. And every single time, it'd be Magic who would say, "Guys, it is an 82-game schedule, and there are going to be lulls. There are going to be times where we're just not playing our best, and this is going to happen." Now, it doesn't make for good sports radio conversation, but it's a Raptors team where Lowry's in a slump. He's not shooting well. Patterson really hasn't been available to them for quite some time. It's January. It's the time of the season where guys are just feeling it.
Yeah, but the issue isn't three losses in a row, really. I mean, that's what we started this conversation on. The issue here is this is a team whose head coach talks about nothing but defense, and he has a team of guys who seem unprepared, unwilling, or unable. One of those to play the way he wants to play.
Okay, let me ask you this, okay, and let's point this out.
Okay.
Take away Biombo. This is basically the same team as last year.
Pretty much.
Sullinger in.
Well, Sullinger's played one game, yet. Two games, yeah, really.
We haven't seen him yet, really.
Really, yeah, you're right.
Biombo's gone. Nogueira's probably giving you as many blocks. At one point, he had as many block shots as Biombo with 500 minutes less time on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Powell's a year older. And this is the thing that Dwayne Casey always points out too. This is the third youngest team in the NBA. They are skewed by the presence. The age number is skewed by the presence of Carroll, Lowry, probably DeRozan. But other than that, they're the third youngest team going. I mean, Norman Powell is a second-year guy.
Yeah, the bench is young. You know what? The bench is young. The starters aren't.
Yeah, but this is the same team as last year. So what happened between last year and this year? They forgot how to play defense? No, I think part of it was the lure of offense, and they started scoring, and it was, okay, well, we don't have to play defense consistently.
Well, so they're not listening to the coach, is what you're saying.
Well,
the coach's message is not getting through.
Well, if that's the way you want to look at it, Bobcat, maybe so, but it's not like he's going to stop with the message, and maybe he'll get their attention now that they've lost three in a row, and teams like the Phoenix Suns and the Charlotte Hornets are shooting 51% against them.
Who's the worst defensive player on the Toronto Raptors, starting five? Who's the worst?
I don't know if I could. No, I don't. I wouldn't say that there's one guy that's a terrible defensive player. I can't say this guy's the worst.
Who's the best? Can't say that either, can you?
I would probably lean towards, because of effort and everything else that goes into it, he's top 15 in loose balls recovered. He's top 5 in deflections. I'd probably say Kyle Lowry, but the way the rules are nowadays, you can't touch. It's very difficult to keep, as Dwayne Casey calls it, a new gunslinger every night in front of you.
I think it's pretty telling that you can't identify a great defensive player on a team that emphasizes, for a coach who emphasizes defense. I think it's telling. I think there's a disconnect somewhere in here. And again, I'm not trying to say the sky is falling. I know it's a pretty good basketball team. But as you move forward, at some point, there's got to be a connection between the general manager and the coach. At some point, if the coach adamantly wants to keep the game in the high 80s, low 90s, and that's good defense, you would acknowledge that, right?
Bobcat, you can't do that these days.
Well, what's the number?
You can't, just because of the rules, and Adam Silver wants offense.
What's the number? Why preach it if you can't get it? Well, they're not losing because they can't score. They're losing because they can't defend.
And the number he'd probably like these days, Dwayne Casey, haven't talked to him, but I'm guessing somewhere in the mid-90s, if you could keep it there.
Okay, but they can't do that.
That's high in the sky because of the way the rules are. But I would say there's probably four teams, maybe five teams, not averaging 100 points. Years ago, if you were averaging 100, that was unheard of. Now,
you've got
23 teams averaging 100.
Yeah, I remember Denver averaged 140 or something ridiculous.
And the rules are ridiculous.
Well, we got to go. Time is our enemy. You've answered no questions of any substance at all, which is typical of your performance, Jones. Typical.
Yeah, go to the general manager and get me fired then, okay?
See you soon.
Okay, Bobcat.
Bye.
All right, Arash.